Technology.ie is brought to you by Ireland's premier hosting and domain registration company, Black Knight. Black Knight offer a comprehensive range of hosting and domain solutions for businesses of all shapes and sizes, no matter where they are in the world.
You're listening to Technology.ie, the podcast brought to you by Black Knight with Con and Michele. And Michele, we've got a special guest this week. Will you introduce us, please?
Sure. This week, we're delighted to have Kevin Murphy from Domain Insight on as a special guest. Kevin writes for Domain Insight, which is a blog talking mainly about domains and the internet industry, but he also writes for The Register and a few other publications. Which other publications do you write for, Kevin?
Actually, as of last summer, I'm pretty much entirely Domain Insight. I don't really write for The Register anymore.
Okay, well, he used to write for The Register. He doesn't anymore, and there's a few bloggers who write about the domain industry. A lot of them are talking about it from the domainer perspective, but Kevin and a couple of others do talk about it more from a kind of the big picture. What's actually happening, how this is going to impact things, talking about some of the policy and everything else. So I thought it'd be interesting just to talk to somebody who isn't an industry insider, but who does follow it very, very closely.
Just to interrupt you very briefly there, Kevin, what's your domain name? What's your URL of your site?
Yes, I probably should have mentioned that. It's Domain Insight, but it's a very lame pun. It's Insight as in to incite a riot, rather than having insight. You go onto my about page, I make a weak joke about that as well. It's basically because all the good domains are taken.
Excellent.
So Kevin has been, formerly US Bureau Chief of Data Monitor, and he writes a lot. I mean, that's what can we say? He writes a lot. Everybody knows who he is. So I thought it'd be interesting just to talk to Kevin briefly about, what's happening with domains and where he thinks things are going. So, Kevin, what do you think? What do you think is happening? Do you think we're going to see new TLDs in 2013, or are we likely to wait until 2014?
Well, I think there'll be some delegated this year. There's little doubt about that. But, ICANN's, the one thing you can always bet on with ICANN is that they will play things. And, that could happen. But, yeah, I think the nice ones, the meaningful English language, generic TLDs. I doubt we'll see many in 2013. After they get delegated, it takes a while to kind of ramp up launch marketing and make necessary registrar partnerships, that kind of thing. So I think after the delegation dates will start falling in 2013. The actual go live dates of stuff that Black Knight might be interested in selling, I think we'll probably looking at next year, most of them.
Are there any particular favorite TLDs that you've seen people applying for? I mean, anything that kind of get you excited? You think, wow, I have to get myself one of those.
Well, I don't know if I have to get one, but the one that I've been saying for years is possibly the most lucrative one for a registry would be .blog, because it does what it says in the tin. People see .com, they know it's a website. They don't need to be told this is a web address and ends in .com. There are very few extra additional strings that actually say this is a website without having to explain that this is a website. You don't need to put a www at the beginning of .blog address. People know that's a blog. It's on the web. It's got a dot in it. It's an address. .music, it's a nice string, but it doesn't say the same thing. It doesn't say web address the same way .blog does. So I've always been a big fan of .blog for that reason. That could be one of the most successful. Obviously, there's millions and millions of blogs out there, so a huge untapped market and new blogs coming online all the time. So I reckon that would probably be one of the most commercially successful ones.
But isn't Google applying for .blog just to be able to use it for blogger users?
Yeah, and isn't that a tragedy? I mean, but there are lots of proposed use cases out there for various generic dictionary word TLDs that, as an internet user, I would be disappointed, for example, if to buy a .music address, you had to be a card-carrying member of one of these, music industry associations. I think that would be quite sad for music as just a human concept. I don't think that Google getting .blog will harm me. I just think it would be disappointing. For not to be too fancy about it, but for free speech.
That's a fair point. I mean, I'm already on the record where I stand on this, so I'm not going to rehash that argument. The dot music one is an interesting one, because I've heard several of the applicants talking about how they'd like to make it a kind of a safe space for musicians and all this kind of thing. Do you think that something like dot music should be just completely open, or would you think that that might be abused if it was left completely open?
There's going to be a certain level of abuse in anything that isn't completely closed. But the thing is that most of the ones that have been proposed as being completely open they've got some quite strict restrictions in there compared to existing TLDs. I mean, I've not written much about it, but a lot of them want to give themselves the right just to kind of unilaterally shut down domains that in terms of service, which I guess happens to a certain extent already. But, in order to get through this ICANN approval evaluation process, applicants are actually promising some quite strict safeguards against abuse because they want to be seen as the clean TLDs. So even if it's completely open, I don't think that necessarily means, free fall.
So do you think that, Fadi Shahadi, the new ICANN CEO, has said it a couple of times in the last few weeks that he's quite concerned about how the domain name industry, and I think also the internet industry, behaves and that it's perceived quite negatively. Do you think that some of these TLD applicants are looking at tightening up how domains are managed because they genuinely feel that this is a good thing to do? Or do you think this is more to kind of appease governments and others who are watching?
I think it's a bit of both, probably. I mean, there's certainly some of the latter going on here. I think that the certain applicants out there knew they already had a quite dodgy reputation, and they wanted to make sure they were super, super squeaky clean before they put their applications in and expose themselves to objections and government advice, that kind of thing.
Fair enough. I mean, Con has also been kind of trying to follow this a little bit. I think, Con, you're a bit confused by a lot of this, aren't you?
Well, it's funny. I tend not to think so much about domains, and I'm not sure if this is a view that is common with non-domainers such as myself, Michele, but we tend to come across websites that we like. They're linked perhaps from places that we frequent frequently, or we bookmark them or have them as shortcuts on our desktops or on our iOS or Android devices. But I'm always kind of interested in the whole importance that's attached to a good domain and to the good top level domains and that, and it's something that, as I say, I'm not sure that I entirely understand or entirely believe in. But what I've learned from you, Michele, over the last couple of years is that there is a huge industry around this and a huge huge level of activity, and that there are some very good reasons and some very good concerns why we should be care about what happens with new generic domains and how they're managed. And you've made some very good cases in relation to some of these ones like .blog or .music and the fact that we don't want them to be dominated by particular brands or by particular companies. But it's something I find myself as being on the fence in relation to. And the only thing I'd say in relation to that is that I think this is something that the domain industry has to contend with, is a certain amount of apathy and ignorance from people outside of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's two things going on with domain names. I mean, there's navigation, which you kind of touched on there. How do you find the website in the first place? You can come in through search, you can type it into your address bar, you can click a link, you can click a bookmark. But once you're there, the domain is what tells you where you are. It's an identifier of the website, it's branding, it's marketing. It's not just about how you get to it, it's how you know where you are. If there wasn't a domain in your address bar, you could on any, you know, anybody can copy and paste somebody's HTML and knock up a perfect replica of their front page.
That's very true. Yeah. And I find that, for example, when I'm logged onto my bank, I pay close attention to that, for example, if I'm doing banking or if I'm involved in anything else that has to do with what I view as being my identity. And increasingly I see as my identity being, for example, my Twitter account or my Facebook account. And I'll very closely look at the domain name when it comes to that, because you're absolutely right. It is a guarantee, or it is an assurance of what you're dealing with, and increasingly we look up into our browsers, we look into that address bar, into that address field, and make sure that we are logged onto the domain that we trust. And I think that does go beyond just people who are technical. I think people are increasingly coming to understand that, and the way the browsers work nowadays, especially when you're logged on to a secure site, they will highlight that domain name for you and help you to understand that is really part of the trust relationship that's going on there.
Yeah, and that, I mean, the last couple of years, the browsers have actually made the browser I use, Chrome, and I think IE as well, Firefox probably, they've started highlighting the domain.
That's right.
And you know, Fishers will put, something that looks like a domain in the parameters after the domain in the URL. But you know, by graying out the rest of it and just showing you the relevant part, the browser makers are actually saying, you know, pay attention to the domain. It's an identifier of where you are. And obviously, new GTLDs, they're all going to. Well, me and Michaela have had an argument about this recently, but the ICANN's trying to push them to use DNSSEC, which actually secures the domain, so that when you see that domain in your address bar, you really are there. Nobody's hijacked your domain name lookup out in the cloud somewhere.
So, if you remember, Calm, a couple of years ago, there was a huge issue with Aircom, users, where they were all being sent to all sorts of weird websites.
That's right. Yes.
You see, the thing is what Kevin's talking about, the DNSSEC thing. I think we talked about it briefly in the past, is the idea, it's that kind of SSL for the domain itself, so that you can be sure that if you're going to aib.ie, it's actually aib.ie and not some kind of phishing site or something that's kind of going to grab your login details.
And that's something, I mean, you're in favor of that, aren't you?
Who, me or Kevin?
You, Michele, I know that you've been in favour of DNSSEC, haven't you?
No, I'm against DNSSEC.
Oh, you're against. Okay, so Kevin's in favour of it.
Kevin's in favour.
Right.
It's not true to say I'm against it, Colm. I mean,
will you explain?
Of course, I'd be happy to. I'm not against it. I just think that a lot of registries, both CCTLDs and GTLDs, have been rolling out DNSSEC, but the problem at the moment is that not enough people are using it. I mean, it's not being used, for example, in email software. It's not being used. It's not built into browsers. Mm. So, for example, in Firefox, you can get a plugin that will do DNSSEC validation, but it doesn't do it by default.
Okay.
So, you know, the people who know about it might use it. But it's like, you know, you've got some registries who have much more serious issues, like the fact that they don't have proper backups or a proper disaster recovery solution in place, who are investing in DNSSEC because they're being told that they have to, yet they haven't got the basics right.
I mean, I would dispute that. I'm in favor of DNSSEC. I'm very, very ambivalent about DNSSEC. I've been writing about it for a long time. It interests me, but it seems to me that it's a kind of a solution without a problem in many respects. If we've been in the situation we are today, I mean, right, domaininsight.com does have DNSSEC, but when I got that, which was maybe 6 months ago, I was in the top 10,000 people to get to sign their .com domain. Considering there's 100 million .com domains, that's quite early adopting. I would be in the position where I could have bought that, and anybody else could have bought a DNSSEC signed domain. Had we been in that position in 2008, when the Kaminsky bug came out, I think we'd have a lot more DNSSEC adoption today. The Kaminsky bug was kind of a really fundamental problem with how DNS was being used in the most common DNS software and it was, you know, a huge problem. Hijackers could have used it to, you know, to hijack your bank transactions, get your emails, all kinds of nasty stuff. But the NSSEC wasn't really mature enough. The NSSEC was a solution to the problem, but it wasn't really mature enough at the time that people could use it. So, you know, as soon as we get another Kaminsky bug, I think the NSSEC will probably pick up. But right now, I can't see why anybody would want to use it. And I signed up for it just as an experiment. I've not seen any benefits or any negative effects or anything. It's just there.
But so you guys are agreed that that there is a need for something to enhance or to guarantee further that kind of domain security. But what's the problem? It's a problem of adoption. It's a problem of something not having enough adoption to actually be effective. Is that it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, fundamentally. Sorry, Kevin.
The risk of speaking out of Michele's mouth here. I mean, companies like Black Knight, they don't want to implement DNSSEC because it's a cost for them. Nobody's asking for it, and there's not a lot of benefit. And I kind of agree. Until people actually start wanting it, until there's a pressing need, it's not going to be. When was the last time you read an article about a man in the middle attack on the DNS? I can't recall ever reading since 2008 about that.
I've seen plenty of things with, you know, ccTLDs dropping off the face of the internet. There's been several instances of that since 2008.
Well, I mean, there's also been a lot of. Every time ICANN has one of its 3 times a year meetings, it always has a whole day on DNSSEC, people talking about their experiences. And the one thing that shines through quite often is, you know, we messed up our implementation and a bunch of websites fell off the internet and we got blamed. So it's like there's actually quite a big risk for an ISP or registry to implement DNSSEC. There's not a lot of institutional knowledge of it out there. And, you know, that's another hindrance. People don't want to sell it because there's no demand. And if you push it from the other side of the equation, from the ISP side of the equation, you actually risk annoying your customers because you will block access to the websites they want to visit.
That's very true. I mean, we had implemented DNSSEC in our resolvers. In other words, the name servers on the Black Knight network that do lookups for various things. And we had an interesting situation a few months ago where we couldn't receive email from a couple of companies because their DNSSEC was broken. We only found out accidentally. So, you know, there is a risk as well. I mean, it's something that, you know, if you turn it on blindly, you could end up having quite a bad negative effect on lots of users, which wouldn't be something you'd want to do.
I mean, part of the problem is with DNSSEC, because it relies on cryptographic keys that need to be changed every now and again, because the longer you leave a cryptographic key active, the easier it is for attackers to kind of do a brute force attack on it. So you need to rotate the keys every now and again, and infrequently, like every 3-6 months or something. And people implement DNSSEC just fine, but when it comes to these key rollovers, they suddenly find they screw something up because they hadn't anticipated how to do the rollover properly. And it's 3 months before they have to try to get it right again first time. So it's a long process.
Let's bring things up a bit up to date, because it's been, Michele, as you and I were saying earlier, it's been about 4 weeks, in fact, since we did one of these podcasts. How are things doing now in relation to the new TLDs? What has emerged in the last couple of weeks or months? Where are we in terms of, or how close are we to actually seeing some of these come on stream?
Well, I mean, Kevin already kind of, said that, you know, he'd expect to see delegation in the next couple of months, but nothing actually usable by, you know,
by the end of 2013.
Well, yeah, I mean,
one of the things you've got to consider as well, Con, is that the way ICANN is prioritizing these approvals, the first ones to come online will be all in like Chinese, Arabic, Hebrew script. They're not going to be in English, so. Or Irish or whatever, so we won't be able to understand them.
Yeah.
I don't think there aren't any Irish applications, are there?
No, I don't think
so. No. Well, there are officially, but they're not actually Irish.
Yeah.
Well, That's not entirely true. Hold on, how can I phrase this? There's a bunch of applications made by companies based in Ireland.
There's no using your script, though, with the accents, the diacritics and that.
No.
What is there that you're likely to, that you think, Kevin, what is it that you think is going to have the most significant effect when we see some of these come out? I guess, as you mentioned there, some of the English language ones, obviously some of those very generic terms and that. What is it that you think is going to, you know, if I could ask you, I suppose, to play pundit, if you like, or to play predictor here in relation to this, look into a crystal ball, as it were. Is there anything in particular that you think is going to excite the imagination, open up a whole new field or a whole new area in terms of domains, and actually, you know, make a real impact?
That's a difficult one. I mean, the original premise behind, one of the big premises behind this expansion was the idea of innovation, that, you know, new ways of using domains. And as it turns out, not a lot of applicants are actually proposing anything particularly innovative. You know, there's variations on who can register, you know, rights protection mechanisms with the trademark holders and various things like that. But in terms of actual innovations, I mean, it might just be that not a lot of them are showing up in the actual applications, but there's nothing like very technologically exciting going on there. And maybe I've just not been reading the applications carefully enough.
What about you, Michele, from your position as a registrar? What is it that you think is going to perhaps interest your customers?
Well, I mean, I think Kevin hit the nail on the head. I mean, in terms of the technology, you know, there's nothing that kind of blows you away going, oh my God, that's such a cool use of DNS. I haven't seen anything that comes close to that. The last attempt at anything cool and interesting was .tel, and we all know how successful that's been. I think there's some interesting applications that, you know, could open things up for certain communities and language groups. I think that has a lot of potential, but it depends on how they actually bring it to market. I see, you know, Ken from Newstar, Ken Hansen. He's updating stuff on Facebook all the time around .nyc. You know, for New York. And I think that kind of thing, where you'll have, say, coffee.nyc or coffee.london or hotels.london or hotels.paris, those things, they could be really, really interesting, depending on how they bring it to market. I mean, one of the things that I would be worried about is that, you know, some of these new TLDs could price themselves out of the market, that they could be simply too expensive to make them viable for a lot of small businesses, and, you know, ultimately, with so many other alternatives out there, you know, why would somebody register a dot Paris if it's going to cost 100 euro a year when they can get a dot fr or a dot com? I think that's going to be an interesting challenge for a lot of these new TLD applicants. I mean, I've spoken to some of them, and they seem to have a very strange view of this.
So what you're saying, really, Michele, is that it's not the TLDs themselves which are inherently exciting or inherently useful or cool. It's actually going to be down to the how they're marketed. It's down to the execution of them. Is that a fair assessment, Kevin?
I think so.
How they're priced, how they're used, how they're marketed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really privy to any of the pricing plans of any of the applicants. That wasn't a fact that the applicants had to disclose in their application, so it's not public knowledge. I would agree with Michele that 100 euros for a domain is expensive, and probably too expensive. I think I'm quite bullish on the city TLD idea, though. There's a .London application. I live in London, and I like that idea. I walk around my neighborhood and I see, you know, small businesses with these wacky URLs on their awnings outside. You know, there was one on my street where they have their brand is the fourth level. It's name of the shop .ltd.co.uk, which isn't even a thing. There's a .co.uk, there's a .ltd.uk, but ltd.co.uk is a domain belonging to somebody. And you know, they'd even put the wrong domain on their URL, or maybe at one point in time it was a correct domain. But you know, that would be perfectly obvious choice for that company to buy a .london. You know, Ali's Hairdresser .london is. I think that it's the city TLDs will do quite well. Not if it's €100 a year, but you know, if it's at a reasonable price, more likely, you know, 10-20, then I think they're going to do quite well.
I mean, the thing is, I mean, look, for me, as you know, as a company, if we were offered, we're able to get, you know, a very, very good domain, something like, hosting.paris is a stupid example. I'd pay €100 a year for it, fine, no problem. But if it was something like, you know, blackknight.paris, I'm not going to want to pay €100 a year for it. I wouldn't bother registering it. I think that's the thing, isn't it?
Kevin, tell us about your own site, Domain Insight, and how did you get into this industry, and how did you get into this business, and what led you to focus on domains and to make it your area of interest?
Just by accident, really. I think a lot of people get into the whole ICANN thing by accident, and I'm one of those. I was fresh out of university, reporter back in '99, working in London for a company called ComputerWire at the time, who was subsequently acquired by DataWanderer, and my editor, who was very, very into the ICANN scene. ICANN at the time was less than a year old. It only recently been formed by the US government, and they were having their second meeting in Berlin. My boss in San Francisco couldn't get the budget to fly to Berlin, so he sent me instead. And, I've kind of been following it ever since. It was quite a different experience back then. I kind of remember going in. It was a Hotel Adlon, I think, in Berlin. And I'd been told, you know, there was a new non-commercial users constituency forming. That's the big exciting thing. Go and check it out. These are the guys to speak to. And I walked into the room and nobody knew I was a reporter. I was just some kid who showed up. And it was a bunch of people from Microsoft. I was going to say a major technology company, but it was Microsoft. Heckling. It was just like sitting in the back of the room jeering and heckling at this meeting. So ICANN, which is obviously a lot more professional nowadays. But back then it was all kind of primordial, and it was a lot more... it was just a lot less professional.
You were hooked.
Well, yeah. I mean, for a journalist, I mean, that was, everything that was being said was quotable. It was good stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously, the second we went around the room and introduced ourselves, and I said, I'm a reporter, everybody shut up. that's one thing that hasn't changed.
Well, listen, Kevin, thanks a million for joining us. Anything else you want to put in there, Michele?
No, just thanks again to Kevin for coming on. I mean, we got you on at the very last minute, and thanks for stepping up and stepping into the breach, or whatever analogy works for you.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin.
Great stuff. Good luck. Bye-bye.